The first reading is from Paul's letter to the Romans. It's not the one on your service sheet. So it's from Romans chapter 9, verses 1 to 5. I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it through the Holy Spirit. I have a great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my people, those of my own race, the people of Israel. Theirs is the adoption, theirs the divine glory, the covenants, the receiving of the law, the temple worship, and the promises. Theirs are the patriarchs, and from them is traced the human ancestry of the Messiah, who is God over all, forever praised. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. The gospel reading is taken from Matthew chapter 15, reading from verses 21 to 28. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Yes, it is, Lord," she said. "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed at that moment. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Well, good morning, everyone. Lovely to see you all this morning. It's great to have you with us. This morning, I want to speak to you about burdens and blessings. Burdens and blessings. I wonder, as you've come into church this morning, if you feel burdened and blessed. And I'm going to define what I mean by burdened as we go along, because I want you to leave knowing your burden and knowing that you are blessed. We're continuing our sermon series looking at Paul's letter to the church in Rome. And we've been for the last couple of weeks in Romans chapters 9 to 11, quite a difficult portion of Paul's letter to the Romans, as if there's a not difficult portion of Romans. And in these couple of chapters, Paul is really exploring what are the implications of the universality of the gospel for his people Israel. So in Romans 1 to 8, he set out his grand theology, his grand understanding of who Jesus Christ is and how Jesus has brought salvation, not just to Israel, but in fact to the whole world. And in Romans 9 to 11, Paul, as a good Jewish thinker and man, is beginning to wrestle with what does the gospel mean for his people Israel. So Romans 9, 1 to 5, as we've already heard read, he says this: "I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it through the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my people, those of my own race, the people of Israel. Theirs is the adoption to sonship. Theirs the divine glory, the covenants, the receiving of the law, the temple worship, and the promises. Theirs are the patriarchs, and from them is traced the human ancestry of the Messiah, who is God over all, forever praised. Amen." The first thing I want to say is that Paul is burdened. Paul is deeply burdened by the spiritual condition of Israel. Verse 2, he says, I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my people, those of my own race, the people of Israel. Paul's heart is broken for his brothers and sisters of Israel. Paul's heart is so broken for them that they would discover that Jesus is the Messiah, that they would come to know Jesus as the promised Messiah of Israel. That fire in Paul for his own people to come to know Jesus burns deep within him. Paul has a burden that God has given him for his people. And so I wonder for us here this morning, do we know what burden God has given us to bear in our life? I wonder for you if you know if there is a people group or a cause that God has so given you a passion for that could be considered your burden. A couple of weeks ago, we had Holiday Club here in church. This church looked nothing like the orderly, presentable church that it is this morning. It was absolute chaos and carnage as 150 children ran riot in here. And what really amazed me throughout that week, as we had the wonderful opportunity to introduce children and young people to Jesus, is really how incredible the team were that makes Holiday Club happen. These are people who, many of whom, have given up a week of their precious holiday time in order to serve at Holiday Club. And I spent a lot of the week thinking, what on earth would cause you to do that? This is really hard work. This is an absolute mess. I could think of 100 more relaxing ways to spend a week of my hard-earned holiday than Holiday Club. And if any of you have ever been on Team Holiday Club, you will know how true that is. And what I realize is that actually many of those people on team, these faithful disciples of Jesus, have sacrificially given up their time because they have such a burden, such a desire for the children and young people of our community to be introduced to Jesus, to hear about the good news of Jesus and the difference that he can make in their life. I wonder for us if we know the burden that the Lord has given us. I believe that each one of us has a unique calling and a unique set of gifts that God gives us in order to fulfill our calling and play our part in building up God's kingdom. I believe that each one of us, each one of you, has a burden, a cause, that if you haven't discovered already, I believe that God might want to speak to you about today, a way in which God is calling you to play your part in his purposes, in building his kingdom. Perhaps there's a particular cause or even a people group that God wants to give you a burden for, a burning desire and passion to do something about. So the first thing I want to say is that Paul is burdened, and I want to ask us, do we know how God has burdened us? But secondly, I want to say that Paul talks about the blessings of Israel. Paul talks about the unique blessings that Israel has been the recipient of as the covenant people of God. And as I read those blessings in this passage, as I read each one of them, I thought they're wonderful blessings, but how incredible is it that we as God's people, the church today, are blessed even more in Christ. So Paul says that Israel is blessed with adoption in verse 4. The people of Israel, theirs is the adoption to sonship. Israel is blessed with adoption. Israel are blessed with a unique identity because God has elected and called the people of Israel to be his precious called covenant people. The Bible describes Israel as being like God's own son. And I thought, isn't it incredible how those of us who are in Christ are adopted? We are the sons and daughters of the living God in Christ. That when God looks at us, he sees us as his sons and daughters. So great is his love for us that he would describe us as his children who he loves dearly. Do you know that your identity in Christ is as a loved and precious son or daughter of God? Secondly, Israel is blessed with divine glory. The divine glory in this passage, I believe, represents the presence of God. You see, before Jesus came, the presence of God was confined to the temple. The whole idea of the temple was that it was a place where not only sacrifice could be made, but where the presence of God could dwell on earth. And so the people of Israel were unbelievably blessed to have access to the divine glory, the presence of God in the temple. But we know as Christians, don't we, that after Jesus, as Jesus sends his Holy Spirit, his dynamic and active personal presence, as Jesus sends that presence, that Holy Spirit, he sends it into the world. He sends it into the hearts of all of the followers of Jesus. How blessed are we that we don't have to visit a temple in order to gain access to the presence of God, but that the Holy Spirit lives in us, that God's presence is available to us as we seek him in worship and prayer and studying scripture. So Israel is blessed with adoption. Israel is blessed with divine glory. Israel is blessed with the covenants. God entered into covenant relationship with Israel, with Abraham, with Moses, and then with King David. And the purpose of being the covenant people of God is to model what it looks like to live in relationship with a holy God to the world. Israel, from the very beginning, was called not just to enjoy a relationship with God, but to be a blessing to all nations, to model the holiness and the love of God to the whole world. It was a tremendous privilege and responsibility for Israel to have the covenants and to be the covenant people of God. And I wonder how much more is it a privilege and a blessing and an honor for us as God's people in Christ to be his people that are called to model to the world around us how loving and awesome and holy and merciful God is to the world, and how he has shown that and displayed that in the person of Jesus. So Israel is blessed with adoption. Israel is blessed with divine glory. Israel is blessed with the covenants. Israel is also blessed with temple worship. I've already mentioned the temple. One of the really important things that happened at the temple was the whole sacrificial system in which lambs or bulls or oxen were sacrificed. And as they were sacrificed, they would atone for the sin of the people. So a priest would lay his hand on the sacrificial animal, symbolically transferring the sin of the whole community who the priest represents. And then as that animal was sacrificed and slaughtered, God's punishment would be dealt out to the animal so that he wouldn't have to deal it out to the people, to Israel. And so as Israel received the blessings of the sacrificial system in the temple, which enabled them to live in relationship with God, that overcame the barrier that sin causes in humanity's relationship with God, I thought, how much more blessed are we than Israel, that we worship the Lord Jesus Christ, God incarnate, who came to earth to pay the ultimate price and cost and penalty for our sins as he hung on a cross in agony. That we don't have to today sacrifice bulls or lambs or goats or whatever animal you can think of. That Jesus Christ for us is the perfect, sufficient, once and for all sacrifice for our sins. That if we put our trust, our faith, our hope in Jesus Christ, then whatever we've done in our lives, however messy our lives have been until today, we know that because of the blood of Christ, we can have relationship with our Heavenly Father who loves us. So Israel is blessed with adoption. Israel finds her identity in God. Israel is blessed with divine glory. Israel is blessed with the covenants. And Israel is blessed with temple worship and the sacrificial system. I want us this morning to spend time thinking, rejoicing, celebrating in how unbelievably blessed we are in Christ Jesus. That God has so loved us that he sent his son Jesus so that each one of us might enjoy eternal life as we choose today again to put our trust, our faith, and our hope in Jesus. Amen. Let's spend a moment just perhaps reflecting on what I've said. Hopefully something I've said has stood out to you. I just want to give us a moment for us to wait on the Lord and see what he might have to continue to say to us. Father God, I just thank you for your great love for each one of us. I thank you for the many blessings which you have poured out to us that are available to us in Christ. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would fill us with a sense of joy for all that you've given us in Jesus. Lord, I thank you that we can find our identity in you. I thank you that we have access to your presence, that you are not distant and far off, but you have drawn near in the person of Jesus and by your Holy Spirit. I thank you that you call us to be your covenant people, to represent you in the world today. And Jesus, we thank you that you paid the ultimate cost for the forgiveness of our sins on the cross. So come, Lord Jesus, I pray. Amen.